When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In the language of the New Testament, Greek, the word Pentecost literally means 50th. According to the first century Jewish historian Josephus, the feast of Pentecost takes place on the 50th day after the first day of the Passover. Pentecost has its origins, however, in an ancient agricultural festival that long predates the Jewish tradition. But by the time of the Jewish tradition, it celebrated a time when the faithful were expected to offer to God the first fruits of the harvest. So it's an agricultural festival. That's what we're doing today. It'd be perfectly fitting to bring in baskets of food, the first fruits of our labor. But by the time of Jesus, the Feast of Pentecost had become increasingly associated with the history of the Jews themselves, starting with the Exodus and going right through the Abrahamic legends and Joseph, and primarily the Exodus, and then through the two kingdoms, or the one kingdom, and then the two kingdoms and the exile, and then finally the prophets. Although, interestingly enough, this is just a little aside, if you actually look at the Hebrew scriptures, they don't come in that order. What you get is the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, and then you get the prophets, and then you get the histories. The purpose is simple. The scriptures are still being written. The story is still being told. It was the church that closed the book. They changed the order. They took the writings and put them in the middle, and they put the prophets at the end, so essentially close the book. But to the Jews, the story is still unfolding. God's world is still unfolding. But certainly by the time of Jesus, that's what Pentecost was. It was a celebration of the Jewish history. But then, after the ascension and the first Pentecost for Christians, Pentecost became that time that marked the 50 days after Easter and 10 days after the ascension of our Lord. It is the day when, as we hear in the Acts of the Apostles, God's presence was made known to the disciples by the visible and audible manifestation of the Holy Spirit which fell upon them, fulfilling, actually, a promise that Jesus made to them before his ascension. "You shall receive power," Luke tells us, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." I love that phrase. I don't know whether you've ever thought about this, but the Gospel of Luke begins in Bethlehem. It ends in Jerusalem. The Acts of the Apostles begins in Jerusalem and ends at the farthest reaches of the Roman Empire. Luke is constantly moving us out. It's constantly moving the church out. It's never in one place. Always moving, like the Spirit, always moving.
So the Feast of Pentecost is, according to Luke's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles, is also a theological statement. The Holy Spirit descending on the disciples of Pentecost empowers them to go out into the world and witness for Jesus. It's for this reason that for many people, Pentecost has always been seen, or is increasingly being seen, as the birthday of the church. Maybe a neat thing to do during Pentecost would be to everyone in the congregation send each other a card. A happy birthday card, the birthday of the church. Where we have to be careful, however, is to assume that Pentecost was only the first showing of the Spirit. But in fact, it runs right through Scriptures. We first encounter the Holy Spirit in Genesis, right at the beginning. When God's breath, God's ruach in Hebrew, first breathed over the waters of creation. The Holy Spirit was made manifest on Mount Sinai during the time of the Exodus and the wanderings in the wilderness. And one of the most vivid, and I suspect one of the most favorite manifestations of the Spirit found in the Hebrew Scriptures, crops up in the great vigil of Easter. That wonderful reading from the book of Ezekiel, when God's Spirit deposited Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones. And through the prophet, God said to Israel, slain, I will put my Spirit within you, and you shall live. The Holy Spirit was present at the Annunciation of Mary, when the angel Gabriel announced to the Virgin, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And after the crucifixion, just as God's Ruach breathed over the waters of creation, bringing life to all things, so on this day of Pentecost, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. There are many traditions associated with Pentecost. This is one of them. We wear red. Another one is to have the reading from the Acts read in multiple languages. I've never quite seen the point of that, but that's okay. I did it once. We had, what was it, people in Latin, Russian, English, and some other language. I can't remember. They did that at St. Paul's when we were there. It is interesting to hear it. Those of us who've had to struggle our way through Greek in seminary, no doubt, will have had a go at it or had to do something with it. Most familiar one, of course, is dress the church in red, have balloons or banners or streamers. All of these things are meant to remind us or give us a remembrance of Pentecost. The Apostle Paul describes Pentecost in terms of gifts of the Spirit and of service. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, the utterance of wisdom and of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, the working of miracles, and so on. The point is that no matter how far back one cares to go in Scripture, whenever or wherever we encounter the Holy Spirit, on each occasion, the presence of the Holy Spirit is seen to bring new life and new birth. Pentecost is not simply one of those festivals we observe and then move on. Pentecost reminds us that we are not meant to simply gaze on Jesus, but to follow in his footsteps, to feed the poor, to heal the sick, to visit the prisoner, to reach out to those society has marginalized. In other words, live into the kingdom of God. It is the Holy Spirit moving and breathing within and around us that empowers us to do these things. The Holy Spirit then, if you like, pushes us out of our comfort zone, or should. The Apostle Peter, think about Peter. He left his business to follow Jesus, but throughout the Gospels he is characterized as hot-headed. What's he called? Sons of Boanerges? Bull-headed? He comes across as somewhat dim-witted at times. Never quite understands what Jesus is teaching. Peter promises to follow Jesus to the gates of death if necessary, only to run away when the going gets tough. Simple, foot-in-mouth Peter. On the Feast of Pentecost, Peter changes. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he's able to step outside his comfort zone, and standing in front of a large crowd, probably hostile, in the heart of Jerusalem, in the temple area, he's able to articulate that which once he could not. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I grew up with Whit Sunday, the other name for Pentecost. If you look at your insert, it says Pentecost or Whit Sunday, or White Sunday, it's sometimes referred to, because in some parts of the Church of England, the altar, the church is vested in white, not red. White Sunday. We're never quite sure where the word Whit Sunday comes from, but I found one origin of it that I really like. It's about 700 years old, but it fits. It was offered by a 14th century monk, an Augustinian canon, a man called John Merck, who suggested that on this day, the Holy Ghost brought wit and wisdom to all the disciples. I like that. Brought wit and wisdom to the disciples. But perhaps for me, and I suppose for any of us who have been ordained, the hymn used at ordinations, it was used at mine twice. And I know it was used at Hank's. At every ordination, the bishop will begin to sing the Veni Creator Spiritus, which expresses well the meaning of Pentecost, the meaning of Whit Sunday. Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire, enlighten with celestial fire. Thou the anointing Spirit art, who dost thy sevenfold gifts impart. Thy blessed unction from above is comfort, life, and fire of love. Enable with perpetual light the dullness of our blinded sight. Anoint and cheer our soiled face with the abundance of thy grace. Keep far our foes. Give peace at home. Where thou art guide, no ill can come. Teach us to know the Father, Son, and thee of both to be but one, that through the ages all along this may be our endless song. Praise to thy eternal merit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pentecost, Whit Sunday,
reminds us that the Holy Spirit is not some passive thought, but an energy of God that has existed from before time. Through and by the Holy Spirit, we were born and are reborn. The Holy Spirit, I hope, endows us with wit and wisdom. But perhaps the most profound gift of the Holy Spirit, if we would but grasp it, not just as individuals, but as a community, is the Holy Spirit empowers us to re-evaluate our lives. That's what happened to Peter and the disciples. It pulled them out of that room of fear. It threw them back to Jerusalem from Emmaus. It threw them to the far corners of the globe. It caused them to re-evaluate their life and their faith in Christ. If the church could do that, we would be the biggest movement on earth. But sad to say, we spend most of our lives just gazing and not doing. The Holy Spirit empowers us to reevaluate our lives in Christ. And through the Paraclete, John's image of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, that which stands alongside us, gives us a power to proclaim the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth. That's why we have balloons. That's why we're dressed in red. That's why we celebrate the feast of Pentecost. Amen.